Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me again on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination, the book of Hebrews, and we're in the 8th chapter. We covered the first 7 verses in the previous episode, and right now what I want us to do is I want us to just read through the entirety of the chapter. How many verses? 14 verses, I think. 13 verses. Set in context, because what we've seen in the first 7 verses. But then the verses 8 through verses 12 are all quotes out of the Old Testament. Okay? Quotes out of the Old Testament. In various parts of the Old Testament, the same things are said. But I think it's really important for us to see what is being brought to a head here, what is being brought to a point. So Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 says this. Now, the main point in what we have said is this. So we covered this, like I said last time. And it's the fact that Jesus is the Most High, great high priest of a better covenant. He is of the order of Melchizedek. That's what had been talked about in chapter 7 and introduced in chapter 5. So the whole point of this is this, that we have such a high priest, which is Jesus, who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord has pitched, not man. So he's drawing a distinction here between the tabernacle that God instructed Moses to build and what they built and what they did in that tabernacle worship and what the Lord God has done. Okay, the true tabernacle where the Lord Jesus is now. Now, verse 3. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, speaking of Jesus, he would not be a high priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. Just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect a tabernacle, and here's what God said, "For see," he says, "that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you." So this is me again. What he's saying here in verses 4 and 5 is that if Jesus was on earth, he wouldn't be a priest because there was a priestly structure, there was a priestly pattern that God showed Moses. They built the tabernacle the way they said. They built the priesthood the way that he said. They honored the law the way that God said. Jesus was not of that line. He was of the line of Judah. He wasn't of the line of Aaron where he could be a priest. That's the reason he says this stuff about that he is the order of Melchizedek. A different kind of thing. Now, verse 6. But now, he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. So we've seen this repeatedly. The whole point of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. Here we see that he is a mediator of a better covenant, and this better covenant has been enacted on better promises. Verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. Now, like I said, the balance of these verses are quotes from the Old Testament. Again, it's not saying that the Old Covenant was not to be lived under, that God made a mistake with that. No. The Old Covenant was the initial step toward where we're going here. Now he's going to be quoting things that speak of the new covenant. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he says, and if you're reading from an English version of the Bible, more than likely verses 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 are in all caps. All caps means, okay, this is a quote from the Old Testament. Here's what it says. Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. Verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, for all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." So that's the completion of the quote from the Old Testament. Parts of this are out of Jeremiah. I think parts of it are out of other portions of the Old Testament. I didn't look up the details of it right now. But it's all quoting what the Lord is going to do in those days. After those days, certain things like that. Now, verse 13, let me finish the chapter. When he said, Jesus said, or when God said, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. But whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear. So what he's saying is that the old covenant is fading away. Now, Jesus said point blankly that he did not come to do away with the covenant, but he came to fulfill the covenant, the old covenant. So the old covenant is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ when Jesus comes along and initiates and brings forth what we saw earlier right here, a better covenant, okay, better promises. And that is the new covenant that the Lord spoke of and that he prophesied. Now, there's all sorts of debate about this, and there's all sorts of things to really be thought about and reflected upon, which really go beyond this format. But there's a couple of things here I do want us to see. When Jesus came and took on the form of flesh, lived a sinless life, when he was crucified, dead, buried, rose again, the new covenant came into effect. A new covenant. We live under a new covenant. Jewish people were the initial believers of the new covenant. And you say, well, yeah, I know that. Everybody knows that. Yeah, yeah. But all too often people come along and say, okay, well, God's done that new covenant right there, but the Jews rejected it. There's going to be another new covenant that the Lord will make with the house of Israel and Judah later on. That's not true. What he's speaking of right here is the new covenant that we have. Now, there are some things to be gleaned. When you look at the totality of the word, particularly when you look at Romans and some other portions of the scripture, you do see, even when you look at Jesus' Olivet Discourse, you do see where the Lord is going to do something with the Jewish people at the end, okay, at the end of the 70th week of Daniel. There's something really interesting that happens right there that brings them into the new covenant, okay? But it's sometimes you'll actually see where people, and they don't. I don't think they really mean this sometimes, but they sort of get themselves trapped in this thought or lack of thought that God's going to do something right here that goes outside of the new covenant. Let me just put it that way, okay? And that's not exactly right. There's all sorts of things that are misinterpretations of these things. Sometimes people come along and say, well, the Jews rejected Jesus, so now all the promises of Israel come to the church, and the church is the new Israel. Whoa, you got to watch that, okay? You got to watch that. The church is grafted into some things, but there's promises that the Lord has made, and we see some of them right here, okay, that have yet to come to fruition that he will do for his people, the Jewish people, okay, that he will do for them. But it's not outside of the new covenant. It's based upon the new covenant, okay? I can sort of throw that out there as a word of warning because there's all sorts of various interpretations. Here's what the bottom line is for this. Jesus is the one who brought forth the new covenant. The old covenant's passed away. Jesus is the mediator of a better covenant. He is the one that enacts the better promises because of what he did. Anything else, any other promises, any other interpretations, any other way that we view something outside of what Jesus has done by his blood is going to be incorrect and in error. Okay? Here, the author is reminding them of what was said in the Old Testament about the days that would come and about the new covenant, and he's letting them know this is what you have experienced. This is what's going on. You need to rejoice in it. And remember the struggle they were going through. They were being tempted to go back to the old way. And he said, no, 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 don't go back to the old way. That old way is fading away. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.